Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
If you have your Bibles, open them now to the book of Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. We'll also have it on the screen, but we're going to jump right into the Bible today. I'm excited about this message and the promise that the Lord is going to bring to us. I'm going to start reading in Psalm chapter 91. Starting in verse 1, it says this. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to talk about a couple of items. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. They say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." Can we say pestilence? We're going to talk about that in a moment. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent." We know that great lion is Satan, the enemy of our souls. "Because they love me, says the Lord, I will rescue them. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They will call on me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation." Praise God for his incredible, incredible word. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. We're going to camp here for a moment. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And the psalmist says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." I want you to look at that word "dwells" for a moment. That word "dwells" literally means to inhabit, to live. It's almost like the idea of buying a home and setting up residence. Setting up residence. So those who are going to set up residence in the house of God, in the shelter of God, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And so shelter is what this idea of a place that's suitable for hiding. Are you thankful that we can run to the Lord and we can hide in Jesus? He can protect us. He can protect us. So I want to look real quickly now also at this idea of abiding in the shadow. So the abiding is the same kind of thing, to rest for an extended period of time. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is not rush out of the presence of the Lord, but rest for a long time in the Lord. You know, you'll find as you've been serving, the longer you serve the Lord, you know, early on in Christ, you might say, "Man, when I spent 30 minutes with Jesus, I felt like I had everything I need for the day." But then the older you get in the Lord, sometimes you realize, man, that 30 minutes is just getting warmed up. I still haven't gotten through all the junk yet, you know. You know, even though I read a couple chapters, I feel like I need more time with Jesus. Time with Jesus. He abides in the shadow. And then this idea of shadow, it's a shade with clearly perceived boundaries. It's the protection of the Lord. The Lord is describing, I believe, in this passage, a certain type of relationship. God here is describing, he's putting qualifiers on the type of relationship that we have with him. And I want to give you a quick illustration up front that I think will help us to understand what type of relationship the Lord is describing here, and it's what I want to call an umbrella versus a tent relationship. So I've kind of got this little thing here. Aren't you thankful we don't need these umbrellas as much anymore, all right? So this is not the most fancy umbrella, but this is an umbrella. So sometimes with our relationship with God, we are, you know, the rain comes, the storm comes, and what we do is we say, "Oh, need to cover myself from the rain." Okay. And it's good. You ever been out without an umbrella and you wish you had an umbrella? And you almost wanted to ask the person running on the street if you can run with them, but a little too awkward, okay? Like, nah, I'm just going to hold out. I'll make sure I get it next time. And, you know, there's a whole industry out there for having miniature umbrellas you can put in your bag. So just in case there's a rain coming, you're going to need it, okay? But this is a certain type of our relationship with God. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we're kind of just walking. We love God. We belong to God, but we don't necessarily really get underneath his covering until the rain comes. And then we say, God, I need you. I need to come under your covering, Lord. And that's good. It's good to run to the Lord when the rain's going to hit. It's good to run to the Lord when the storm comes. It's good to do that. But the psalmist here is not talking about a type of relationship where you kind of run. That's many times when you're new in the Lord, you don't recognize that, wait a minute, it's not just supposed to be a relationship that I go to him when it's raining out. It's not just supposed to be a relationship I go to God in the storm. Now, it's good to go to the Lord in the storm, but the Lord is saying here in this passage, he says in the word, he says, you know what? Whoever, can we say whoever? Whoever dwells in the shelter. Now, an umbrella is not really a shelter, because you've seen it. Sometimes it gets so bad that the umbrella turns inside out. You've seen that, right? And sometimes the rain starts going sideways. And before you know it, then all of a sudden that hail starts hitting. Only in Chicago, by the way, will be 80 degrees and then start hailing, okay, a couple minutes later. And so just for the illustration purposes, I have another thing that I want to kind of articulate. I got to thank my daughter for borrowing this wonderful tent here. She doesn't know it, so don't tell her yet. I had to grab it this morning. This is a Hello Kitty tent, okay? Totally even has a zipper and everything. It's just fantastic, right? So now, I can't fit in there. I'm not going to even try, okay? But I want you to imagine that, you know, this was a big tent, right? And the idea that what the Lord is saying, he's like, listen, you need to graduate from having a relationship with me that you only pitch a covering when you're in trouble to this idea that, you know what, I'm going to set up residence, okay? I'm going to set up a home. Praise God. Amen. Now you'll be like, Pastor Matt, I'm not living in that tent. I know, just work with me on it, okay? Okay. 2016, it's build a house, okay? It's go into a house. It's go into a place that you're going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to be staying here for a while. I don't plan on going anywhere. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. There is a certain type of protection and deliverance that God brings to those who are living in his shelter. Now, yes, does God run out and does that help when we pitch up the call for help? Yes, he does. But the Lord is wanting every one of us, whether we've even been serving God for 30 years, this is a constant cycle of growth. You may have just gotten a new promotion on the job and you may have worked very hard. You've been serving God a long time and you're tempted to leave the shelter and to say, well, as long as I have an umbrella, I'm going to be okay. I can flirt with the line of my ethics just a little bit because I know the Lord will cover me. Oh, you know what? I know the Bible. I know God. You know, I've been into my marriage. You know what? My husband, my wife, they're not changing. Maybe I need to take things into my own, get out from underneath and just kind of figure it out myself. This doesn't seem to be working. So many different applications to this. But the promise of the scriptures is that there is a type of deliverance that comes to those who will stay in God's house, okay? Now, you heard it growing up. My parents would say this. My father reminded me of this when I was 17 years old. He said, my house, my rules. I'll never forget when I turned 18 years old, and I all of a sudden had this idea just because I could be drafted and vote, then now all of a sudden I can make up my own rules. My father very quickly reminded me, if you're going to live in my house, you're going to abide by my rules. If you're going to be in my house, you're going to be under my authority. If you want me to pay for your school, you know, you can go on and on and on. Okay. And so my house, my rules. And the Lord today, the message of today is my house, my protection. My house, my protection. Believe the promise is God is saying, listen, I have a certain type of deliverance and protection I want to give my people. And some of you may have been, you can be in scenarios that you might be confused because you're like, God, why am I not seeing deliverance or protection? And he's saying, I'm just waiting for you to get into my shelter. Because the shelter of God represents not only his protection, it represents being under his authority. As we talked at Easter, Pastor preached an amazing sermon about that the Lord's not just Savior, he's Lord and Savior. He's King. We can't be entitled, and this is part of the challenge of our generation, my generation, is that we can feel entitled just because we have the name of Christ that we will receive all the benefits of Christ. It's the same thing with, you could say, well, I have his name, so therefore, just because I have his name, that means that I'm going to get all of his benefits. I'm going to have all his protection and deliverance. And the Lord, that's not the way, that's not the way it works. We have to be under his authority. We have to be, say, God, have full rule and reign over my life. We are God's children, but we need to be under his protection. And my question to you, are you under God's roof today? Not just are you saved and are you a Christian, but in every area of your life. Because sometimes we can have 80% under God's roof and we're in his house, under his house. By the way, I'm not, when I say the word house, I'm not meaning church. I'm meaning his authority and being under his covering. But there could be a percentage that says, well, I don't have that under the covering of the Lord right now. Got that in my own hands. Today, as we're going to pray in a minute, and the promise that I want us to see through the scriptures is that God delivers and protects those who live in his house. God delivers. Can we say deliver? Deliver. And can we say protects? Protect. And they're different, and we're going to walk through that in a moment. Those who live in his house. I had a friend of mine in college who, it kind of got a little old, but I tagged along anyway. He said, we're going to go to my mom's house because there we can do all of our laundry for free. I was like, sounds good. But it wouldn't just be the laundry. All of a sudden, we'd eat all the food and all this, and it got to a certain point. You could tell his mom got a little perturbed. Like, why are you only coming to me for this, but you're not coming to me for other things? Started to feel that vibe. So today, we're going to talk about how God delivers and protects those who live in his house. We're going to look at two things, and then we're going to pray. Firstly, God delivers his children from snares. Look at Psalm 91, verse 3. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, a snare is something that you can get trapped in. And a fowler is another way for saying hunter, is someone who hunts for food, but hunts for the purpose of devouring. Okay, so a fowler is not just a sports hunter. A fowler is somebody who is hunting for the purpose of consumption. Someone who is saying, I'm going to hunt so that I can eat. And we know in the New Testament that the Bible says this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, to be alert and sober-minded, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the enemy is the one who wants to devour us, and the Lord promises that he will deliver us from these snares and these traps. For us, there are different types of traps. The devil uses traps so that he can devour us. That's one of his specialties. He uses traps so that he can devour us, especially for Christians, because if you go later on and read in 1 Peter, you'll see right here it says, resist him standing firm in the faith. The enemy knows that that the authority that the Christian has as the follower of Jesus, that we can resist him and rebuke him, and he has to flee in Jesus' name because of Christ's authority. Every stronghold must come down, every wall must be broken, and there's the idea that when we resist the devil, he will flee. So what the enemy will do is see, especially the longer you serve God, he won't come at you full on the front. He won't come at you many times with some crazy temptation or some obvious trick. You might say, oh, that's evil. I'm not going to do it. No, he'll be more sly about it. He'll lay a trap. He'll lay a snare. He'll put something on the way so that it will grab you so that you can no longer get out. Let me walk through a couple of traps real quickly. One is common, is what I want to call the relationship trap. Traps for relationships many times, relationships can be traps. Some of you said, I've been married 25 years, Pastor. It still feels like a trap. I'm like, okay. I'm not talking about that, all right? We're going to talk pre-marriage. The joke always goes, if you marry them, they're the right one, okay? They're the one God has for you now, and God will redeem it. And even the most challenging marriage, God can turn it around for his glory. Amen? Amen. Let's praise God. He can change our marriages, transform marriages. Amen. But let's talk pre-marriage for a moment, pre-covenant. If I've heard it once, I've heard it many times. I had a young woman about 7 years ago. She said, Pastor Matt, I can't get out of this relationship. And I said, are you married? She said, no. I said, well, what's going on? And it was a very, it was a sad story. She had been dating this man for, well, living with him for over a decade. He was abusive. He was a lot of things to her, and it was unhealthy for her and for her children. And she would come to church, and she would kind of run to the umbrella, and I would see her at the altar crying out to God, and I know God did so many things. But it came to a point that she realized nothing, something wasn't really changing, even though God was giving her short-term relief. And what we began to realize is that it was incredibly difficult for her to come under the authority of the Lord because she was trapped. And I recognize it, that the person she was living with was the one making all of the money. She didn't have an education, just like our sister Jane said, how when her husband passed, she felt like, I don't know what to do. I have nowhere to go. But how many of you know that Jesus is the one that can release us from the trap? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. So this one sister, I began to say, okay, I said, who is your provider? Is this man your provider? No, the Lord's your provider. Amen. Who's really going to father your kids? If this man, he's not able to make a covenant and a commitment to you, do you really think he's going to make a commitment to your children? Okay? And we began to walk through all of these different aspects for her, and we began to unravel the lie, because the devil says you're trapped and you can't get out. But that is a lie from the pit of hell, because Jesus Christ shed his blood so that we could be released from every snare and from every trap. Hallelujah. But you might say, Pastor, I've been praying and praying. And I said, and I want to say, you can be praying, but are you under his authority? Because the Lord says those who dwell under the shelter of the Most High, those are the ones he will remove from the trap and the snare. Now, does God remove people from traps who aren't under? Yes, but at a certain point, he will stop delivering from evil, and he's going to wait until you come under his authority. Because here's what will happen. If he delivers you from the snare, and you have not come under his authority, guess what you're going to do? You're going to walk right into another snare. Because it's under the protection of the Lord that he delivers us from these snares. So that's one of the traps. Maybe you're here today and you're trapped. You feel like you're trapped in a relationship. I want to tell you in Jesus' name, you are not trapped. Or you may be trapped, but Jesus can release you from that. He will make the way. He is your provider. He is the one who will look after your children. He is the one who supplies everything. We have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. We have never seen it. God has a 100% track record of perfection for those who are under his shelter. 100%, not 95, 100%. The second trap can be what can happen to many people, is what we're going to call a financial trap. The devil can get you in your finances. He can slow down every aspect of your life. They say the two of the biggest things that marriages fight over is sex and finances. Intimacy and money are two of the biggest areas the enemy attacks marriages. On the financial side, the lie that you might say, well, I'm trapped, but you know, it could be, well, I don't make enough money, so I have to keep getting more into debt. Or I don't have the best job, so there's no way for me to get out of this. And you can start to believe these lies about your finances. And can I encourage you, one of the greatest ways for you to get knowledge and understanding about your finances is to read the Bible. There are over 2,000 references to finances and our provisions and our physical resources in the Bible. One of the greatest topics in the entire scriptures. Okay? But you might have a financial trap and you say, well, I don't know how to get out of it. And what you might be doing is you're running to the Lord and you're saying, God, help! It's a storm. They're coming. They're coming, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't have what I think I need. And the Lord will bail you out. He'll bail us out as his people. He's loving like that. But he will stop the bailout at a certain point. And he will say, okay, it's time for you now to grow up and to come under my authority. And you know, one of the practical ways we come under the Lord's authority is when we give 10% to God. You know what that is? It's saying, God, all of my money belongs to you. Amen. And it's saying, God, I'm going to get out of this trap by giving to you, and I'm going to start trusting you, and I'm going to start being disciplined with my finances, and we need to recognize that Jesus can help us get out of even those traps. The last one I want to talk about, we'll move on to the next point, is we call the trap of the flesh. We just talked about this in our Jacob series. If you missed it, if you missed any of the series, maybe you've just started coming to the church, go online and listen to the series on transformation on the life of Jacob. Absolutely powerful. You read the book of Romans chapter 6 and 7, it talks about this battle with our lower nature. And we could begin to, you know, many times you can begin to fall into this trap of there's really no hope for me to really be free from my sin. You could start to say, well, this is just the way I'm made. This is just who I am. But how many of you know that the Bible says that the old has gone and the new has come, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus? And then the Bible also says in the Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, it says, who will deliver me from this body and this of sin and death? Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. The trap, you might be leaving that you're in a trap. And can I tell you about when it comes to the trap of the flesh? Sometimes you can actually set up the wrong type of tent around your trap. And your foot's stuck and you're like, well, I'm just going to get comfortable here. And you start making it look good. You know, you start putting up landscaping around it, you know, and put up a flat screen TV, follow the illustration. You say, well, this is my new home. This is just who I am. Don't believe the lie. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross and shed his precious blood so that we could remain in the trap of sin. But we say, Jesus, I'm coming under your authority, and I'm believing that if you said it in your word, that you can do it in my life. He releases us from the trap. If you look at the scripture there, where it talks about how he will deliver you from the snare, that word actually deliver is all-encompassing. And actually, the picture of deliver is what I want to call to forcibly remove. It's the last thing I'm going to say on this. So you might be hearing the truth today. You say, okay, praise God, I want to get out of this trap, but, you know, give me 3 months. I want to go on a 90-day plan to get out of the trap. You know what? That'll be my 2017 resolution to get out of this trap. You know what? I've become so comfortable in this trap, I don't know what my life will even look like. But the word deliver means Jesus is standing in front of you saying, right now at 9:45 a.m., I am ready to deliver you and to forcibly remove you from that trap, to grab you and to pull you out of that. Amen. And that's where fear can creep in, and we're going to pray at the end of the meeting. Maybe you need to bring that trap to the Lord and say, Jesus, today I'm believing you're pulling me out of this trap, and I'm coming under your authority. Jesus will snatch you and pull you out. The second thing that the Lord does, and if the piano players can come, we're going to pray here in a moment. The first thing God does is he delivers his children from snares. And the second thing is he protects his children from pestilence. He protects his children from pestilence. Psalm 91:3 at the end of the verse, it says, he will deliver you from deadly pestilence. Deadly pestilence. The word pestilence, not something we necessarily use every day, is any epidemic disease with a high death rate. An epidemic disease with a high death rate. God not only saves us from diseases and epidemics, but he delivers us from the deadly epidemics. He delivers his people from places where they no longer have hope or any solution. You understand? Sometimes disease and pestilence can come upon our life. I'll talk about what it is in a moment, that there is no more hope for it. There's no solution. One of the worst plagues that we saw in the natural, in the physical, was the bubonic plague. We didn't see it, but our people that lived a long time ago did. The bubonic plague, as you might have heard it, called Black Death, killed approximately 75 million people. It was an epidemic that swept across the world, and it killed 75 million people. Many historians believe that it was approximately one-third of the world's population, that plague swept across Europe and India and many other parts of the known world. And it was a type of plague, there was no cure for it. There was no cure, there was no way to deliver people from that. And today, there are different types of pestilence for Christians that can come upon our life that can be incredibly deadly. Incredibly deadly. For example, do you know the death rate for marriages is an all-time high? The pestilence of divorce outside the church and inside the church is at an all-time high. You want to know why disease begins to make its way into marriages? It's because of the pestilence of selfishness. Selfishness is one of the greatest epidemics in the church. Selfishness is one of the biggest challenges that we as 21st century Christians face. Because when men and women and children and young people get full of self, destruction is not far behind. Pride, arrogance, self-sufficiency. One of the things that is hurting the American church is that we are so self-sufficient. We don't have to depend upon the Lord to turn the lights on, for example. The pestilence of selfishness. Maybe in your marriage, you're like, you know what? My parents' marriage, my grandparents' marriage, and marriages many years back have just always been so-so. The relationships in my family, they've not been very good. What's wonderful, and you say, you know what? I don't have much hope because I'm seeing the same patterns in my marriage that I saw in my parents' marriage. I'm seeing the same patterns in my children that I saw in myself, and I don't know what to do. It's like a disease has spread. And even my cousins and my extended family, everybody has an epidemic in their marriages, and I don't know what to do. When we are under the authority and in the shelter of God, the Lord says, I will protect you from the deadly pestilence. I will protect you from the diseases that normally for others, they would fall. It says there will be 10,000 that fall at your right and 1,000 that fall at your left, but no harm will come to you. The promise for those who are living in God's house. There's another, what I want to call the pestilence of relativism. This is a big one. An epidemic that has swept across Christianity in our country and actually in Europe, in Western civilization, is that, well, there's no absolute truth. Everyone can believe what they want. There's no official standard. Whatever you believe, that's true. Do you recognize how destructive that is and how that will just tears down families, relationships, if there is no righteous standard? It is a disease. It is an epidemic. It will destroy, and it's already infiltrating the church of Jesus Christ. This idea that there is no standard and anyone can do what is right in their own eyes, even as what happened in the book of Judges. But when we come under the Lord's authority, and we say, God, we're going to dwell in your home. We're going to be close to you. And I'll let you be over every part of my life. The Lord says, I will deliver you from that deadly disease. Brothers and sisters, we are moving into days that are darker and more challenging. And the attacks on the church will become even greater. The way that we could say for ourselves and the way we can have hope for our children. Do not fear for your children. May I say this to you today? Do not fear for your children. If we as the people of God are under the authority of God, God will take care of our children. Can we praise God for his mighty hand and his saving and keeping power? Hallelujah. But may I issue a holy warning to you today? Maybe you're not under the authority of God. You have to recognize that there are generations behind you, generations in front of you, that the decisions you make today with your life will be impacted. They will be impacted by the decisions you make. You say, well, I want to live my life the way I want to live. No one's life only impacts themselves under the authority of the Lord. And the last thing is that we're going to pray about. Just there's so many things. The Holy Spirit might be pointing it out to you, but God will protect us from the deadly pestilence. The last one that can be like a disease and it can spread rampant is the disease of fear, as we just talked about for our kids. Fear is one of those things that can paralyze somebody. And not only can it become paralyzing, fear can spread to everyone around you. It can spread like an epidemic. But you could say, you know what, I'm going to dwell in the Lord's house and he will deliver me from this fear. Let's stand to our feet. God delivers and protects those who live in his house. God delivers and protects those who live in the Lord's house. Just close your eyes here for a moment, everyone in the sanctuary. The question I want to ask you today, what type of relationship do you have with the Lord? Do you have the umbrella type of relationship that you just pull up to God and you ask Him when you're in a jam? Do you have a type of relationship where you are dwelling in God's house on every day? You are under His covering and under His authority. Maybe you're here and you'd say, well, 80-90% is under the Lord's authority and covering, but I'm holding on to this other thing and I'm kind of doing this on my own. The promise from the Lord for deliverance and protection is for those who are under His covering and authority. Are you stuck in a trap today? Is there a trap that you've been stuck in maybe for a day or a couple of days or a few weeks? Maybe a trap that you've been stuck in for years and you become comfortable in that trap. But today you want to say, Lord, I want to come and I'm going to run to You, Jesus. And I want You to deliver me from that trap. Are you fearing the future? Are you fearing the evil? Are you fearing the disease and pestilence that is around you? The Lord promises He will protect. Look up at the screen. Here's the promise, and here's how we're going to pray. Psalm chapter 91, verse 9 says this. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Amen. 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 Praise God. This is our response to the Lord, saying, God, this is what I want to say. God, You're my refuge. No one else is my refuge anymore. I'm running to You. I'm running to You. I'm running to You. I'm running to You. Let's close our eyes in the Lord's presence. Thank You, Jesus. I'd like to open the altar. We have a couple of minutes to pray. If you're here and this has hit you at any level and you want to just say to the Lord, God, You're my refuge today, I want to invite you to slip out of your seat and come, and we're going to pray together. You might be in a trap. You might not be in a trap. You might be in a decision. You're tempted to take control of your own thing. You say, God, You're my refuge. You're my strength. Maybe you want to come and you want to stand proxy and believe God for those that you who are in your family that are not under the covering of the Lord. I want to invite you to come. And we're going to sing this Christ alone cornerstone. We're going to make our declaration that the Lord, that Jesus is the one in whom we will trust today. He's the one in whom we will come under today. And Lord, this week we pray that as we're dwelling in Your house, Lord, we pray that we would feast from Your table, oh God. Lord, we pray that we would walk closer with You. God, we pray that there would be deep and rich Bible reading this week, oh God. We pray that the Word of God would enrich our hearts, oh Lord. Father, we pray that our time of prayer and seeking You, Lord, that we would see the hand of the Lord deliver and supply, oh God. Father, as we're at the workplace and school throughout our day, as we dwell in Your shelter, may we have a deep sensitivity to Your Spirit. We pray for deep and rich communion with You. Send us now with Your grace and Your fresh deliverance and protection in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and praise Him one last time today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Give a couple people a big hug with the love of God. God bless you. God willing, we'll see you on Tuesday at the prayer meeting.